الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون، ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Holy Quran that when it is said to them, do not spread disorder and corruption on the earth, their reply is, we only seek to put things right. Indeed, Allah declares, إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ. They are certainly the ones who corrupt. They are the ones who spread disorder. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. But most do not realize it. Last week, we went on to talk about, or revisit at least, the issue of this COVID-19 global pandemic and the subsequent lockdown of societies and the systematic dismantling of whatever we could call the global economy. What we did affirm is that the agents of the Dajjal have certainly been hard at work and are planning new lockdowns to introduce the World Debt Reset Program, which includes universal basic income and also the vaccination requirements that come with that. Today we'll focus a little bit more on the vaccination issue, but let's conclude the matter of the conspiracy against humanity that we will see unfold over the next 12 months. These conspirators have initiated the second and what will later be a third wave of COVID-19 cases. And as I mentioned just last week, you will see it as we go through December, towards the end of December 2020 and into 2021, there will be the fine-tuning of these lockdown strategies. Now, in Western Australia, it seems not to be too alarming. And the reasons are because of all sorts of backdoor machinations within the Australian government, and also the tensions between the vested financial, economic, mining, and other interests, along with the political and banking prerogatives. But that's another subject we'll talk about later. So to us, this may seem to be just another theoretical scenario, but to most people in other parts of the world, this is the reality. And the planning of these conspirators involves, as I mentioned, the establishment of a new world economy. Not that the old was necessarily good. These are just steps towards the final, as some of our scholars have described, Turba Magna, the great turbulence, the end times, the great Malhama that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about. And in it you'll find the introduction of medical fascism as a permanent way of life. Just a year ago, no one could have possibly anticipated what has happened over 2020, but now, sadly, this is the new normal. In other words, the abnormal. Humanity effectively have entered into a chronic stage of abnormality. The fact that we recognize or acknowledge it, accept it, and conform ourselves to it. Now, these historic lockdowns have engineered mass poverty across the world. And this will continue to weaken people's financial and food security. It'll create desperation. And desperation is an absolute prerequisite for the ushering in of the age of Dajjal, which will ultimately culminate in the greatest conquest. And that's not necessarily the conquest of that which lies between your ears, in other words, your grey matter. The most important piece of real estate on earth is actually what lies between your ears, your mind. But actually, more importantly, the complete subjugation and enslavement of the soul. And this will manifest in the worship of Dajjal as God on earth. But that requires foreplanning. And that foreplanning requires desperation to be effective. And that desperation begins with financial and food security. People will therefore be more vulnerable, and eventually people will become more desperate. They will accept the world order of the Dajjal, and most importantly, surrender their souls, selling proverbially their souls to the devil. And they'll accept this new world order, this new world economy, and especially its bodily requirements, and later its spiritual, or you could say, soul requirements. So, this new world economy will include, as you mentioned last week, the introduction of a comprehensive digital currency. The last few pieces of bank notes you may have in your pocket will be obsolete probably by next year this time. There'll also be the universal basic income. Each one of you will receive a fixed income in your bank account every month. But that'll come with vaccination requirements, and especially for travel. And with that also will be what seemingly would be considered as something good, a world debt reset program where essentially your debts will be wiped off, but at a price. So this continuous cycle of lockdowns, which will be ratcheted up through December and early January and into 2021, will eventually lead to world economic collapse. This is all part of creative destruction, as many of the big wigs in Washington and increasingly more in Tel Aviv are deciding. Their controlled implosion of the world order as it stands, and what they call creative destruction of normative human society. And what will happen to governments? Well, they will offer citizens this alluring way out by promising to eliminate all personal debt, mortgages, loans, as I mentioned, credit cards. And the United States has already been implementing this through the Paycheck Protection Program. And effectively, this represents the complete insidious asset stripping of the middle class, which we'll see later. And it's a guaranteed program that forgives the debt if the borrower follows specific instructions. Under this impending economic collapse, any and all loans will be forgiven if the citizen agrees to participate in this world debt reset program funded by the International Monetary Fund, which, incidentally, most people don't realize is a private organization. As I mentioned last week, the International Bank of Settlements, or the Bank of International Settlements, probably a more significant player. It's probably an interesting documentary I may suggest you watch. It certainly doesn't tell the full story, but it's a good explanation as to why the British Empire, which was the most powerful at the turn of the previous century, decided to opt for the system of nation states and allow for what seemed to be the liberation of colonized peoples and the election of representative governments. It has everything to do with the economic order that we've lived up to this point. It's called, the movie actually is called The Spider's Web. You can get it on YouTube, interestingly. It hasn't been deleted yet. The Spider's Web. The way in which the British Empire shifts from being a colonial occupying force to a banking occupying force. So the banking order. And the reason why the First and Second World War was necessary to achieve that outcome. But watch it. Interesting watching. Well, now we're going to something a little more insidious because we're shifting from Pax Britannica and Americana to Pax Judaica, the supremacist Zionist world order. And that is what the debt reset program is all about. Now, in order to get all debts forgiven, citizens will have to firstly forfeit ownership of all private property. So the car you own, supposedly, the house, even probably the clothes on your back, all private property. So this effectively is what we call international communism. The second is accepting universal basic income. Well, there won't be any other option. You effectively will be indentured slaves. And also with that, you'll have to enroll in the COVID-19 and COVID-21 vaccination schedule. And that's what we'll talk about a little later in more detail. What is this vaccination all about? As the rollout is effected and the lockdowns and the economic sanctions commence, citizens, you and me, will be permitted all our previous freedoms to travel, to gather and watch the local footy at the stadium, public venues, as long as we provide an ID certificate showing that we've been inoculated. It's very similar to the pass system in South Africa, where I come from, where you were not allowed to move from one city or town or state to the next without providing ID to validate your presence there. A similar system obtains in Israel currently. Nevertheless, the whole world will be made a big Israel. This is what comes with supremacist Jewry. With all the mandated COVID-19 and COVID-21 vaccinations, there will be detainment camps. And already they are in all states and territories. So don't think that nothing is happening except what you've been told in mainstream media and what you listen to on the local radio station as you make your way back home, but they are there. And these are required to encourage, let's use that word, people to comply with these new plans. Failing which, well, anyone see the documentaries on what's happened in China? People who don't comply with what is required by the Chinese state, well, simply are detained in internment camps. This ID, vaccine ID, will be referred to as a health pass. Sounds nice. If you have it, you're healthy. If you don't, well, you're sick, and therefore you need to be quarantined. And leaders in Australia and in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, New Zealand, or the Five Eyes, are currently pushing for complete and total secondary lockdown, much stricter than the first and second rolling phase restrictions. New Zealand is probably the strictest currently. And we'll see with Biden what happens next. And these new lockdowns will be pushed in, like I mentioned, through December, through to January 2021, by hyping up COVID-19 testing and case counts, which obviously won't be able to keep up with increasing demand until eventually it will justify the lockdown of society completely because we simply can't keep up with the testing schedule. This is currently, as we're speaking, happening in the US. So that's used as a pretext for everyone to be regarded as, well, a suspected carrier. The 2020 lockdown tyranny is just the beginning. It's a small drop in the ocean of the large conspiracy to completely enslave insan. The economic lockdown plans are congruent with the Great Reset Plan, as I mentioned, outlined by the World Economic Forum event that were held a few years ago, and also Event 201, if anyone was following what is currently being or has been happening, particularly Bill Gates. What does a software mogul have to do with vaccination? Sort of asking, what does a motor mechanic have to do with medicine? Well, later you'll see the interface between the two. But Event 201 is known across the world. You can check it up on any mainstream platform. And what we find happening now was actually discussed step by step, lockstep, just a few months before the first supposed COVID-19 infections in Wuhan. And it's not conspiracy theory, it's not coincidence. It's part of what we as Muslims particularly should be more familiar with. Manipulation, perception management. In any event, all of these are funded and pushed by global banking. This is ultimately what it is about. Global banking. In fact, when you watch the documentary, The Spider's Web, what will be very important to note is that the City of London or the Bank of England is independent of London or the United Kingdom. Why? Why would a banking district be independent of the state that hosts it? It has its own constitution, it has its own police force, it has its own courts. No one realizes that, but there's an important reason why. What we have is the banking global superstate, but ultimately will usher in the Dajjali order, where from the impoverishment and enslavement of the body, and later the mind, as we will see, there will be the enslavement of the soul. In any case, let's go back to these people. Bill and Melinda Gates are important. And they will require, as per 201, Event 201, and the pandemic, to seek worldwide compliance with the vaccine schedules, as I mentioned, and later, the genetic modification of human beings, or transhumanism. Timothy Winters, or Abdul Hakim Murad, the head of the Cambridge Islamic faculty, Islamic Studies faculty, actually has got some very interesting Islamic perspectives on transhumanism, which is really where our focus should be directed, not necessarily the invasion of the latest Muslim land. That's, you could say, the small fitna. The greater fitna is the complete re-editing of the human species. And nothing will stop these planned outcomes. And it will certainly usher in the age of the Dajjal, but we can at least be aware and take whatever limited steps we can in averting, inshallah, averting that catastrophe. So, The lockdowns, which we will see now in 2020, December, and you probably see it starting in the eastern states. WA is an interesting case, as I mentioned, it's an exception to the rule. But these will implement restrictions on a rolling basis, beginning with the major metropolitan areas and then expanding outwards. And this is why the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged that during end times do not live in cities. The most prized possessions, the Prophet of Allah said, of a man in that time will be his sheep by which he flees into the mountains away from cities. Everything always starts in the big cities first. So as Muslims, those who have the means, most of us don't, people like me, don't. But those who do have the means, instead of wasting your money on building an investment property, buy some rural property very far away from the metropolitan area. Nevertheless, the media obviously will project that the daily COVID cases are exceeding testing capacity and they have to be curbed, as I mentioned. And they will use a complete and total secondary lockdown with much stricter measures than the first and second, simply because the excuse of exceeding testing capacity will be used. Everyone, therefore, will be a suspect. Everyone will be, therefore, restricted. Everyone simply would not be able to move. And the unemployment program will be configured into a universal basic income program by the end quarter of 2021. In other words, towards March, April, May, you'll probably see a nice supplement to your income coming into your bank account, even those that have established jobs. And as these vaccines are rolled out, all viral shedding, mutations, vaccine injuries will be blamed on a third wave. And you'll see the reason why. This will include a higher mortality rate, higher rates of infection. And there's a reason why, because the vaccine, like I say, edits the human genome. It's an mRNA vaccine. And obviously, anyone who does not agree to the vaccines will be stripped of their right to travel freely. They will be either detained in isolation centers, they'll be monitored under home arrest until they agree to comply. They'll be shackled, electronically shackled. And during this time, medical facilities will reach peak capacity. And as I mentioned, in the United States, this is currently the big debate. You just listen to SBS News, you would see that this is currently happening. The government will enhance lockdown restrictions, implementing a third lockdown by quarter 2021, April, May, complete shutdown. And there will obviously be large inventory shortages. Supply chains will break down. There'll be economic instability. All of these are expected. This is just natural. Ask any economist, this is what you can expect. All individuals, like I say, will be put on universal basic income to curb hunger. There will be hunger. And remember, the English are particularly good at manufacturing famine. Anyone who knows anything about the English occupation or colonization of India will know how they systematically fabricated these famines to cull populations and to direct populations towards centers that required indentured labor. So the English have been particularly efficient at this. Tragic, though, that our compatriots are not learning from our experience as Indian Muslims. As to what happened in Imperial India, the creation of hunger through strategic famines, and also the homelessness and the civil unrest. Remember the partition of India and Pakistan eventually? Well, this effectively will be a template used for all states, including Australia and the rest of the world. Hunger, homelessness, civil strife. And by quarter three, governments are expected to deploy military personnel to major metropolitan areas and roadways to create travel checkpoints. That began in Victoria, and it'll just become a little more pervasive. So that'll be by next year, August, September, thereabouts, July, August, September. And these tactics have already been tested. There's already been trial runs, like I mentioned, Victoria has had it, certain parts of New South Wales. And everyone who is dependent on these systems will be forced onto the health pass vaccination schedule by next year this time. And anyone who disagrees, like I said, will be deemed a public health threat, an enemy of the state. Dissension will simply not be tolerated, and you will be interned or eliminated. Your health hazard. Don't underestimate the power of frivolous entertainment. The slew of zombie apocalypse movies are there specifically to systematically program the population into accepting otherwise noxious proposition that entire human populations should be culled because they represent a biohazard. So what we find in the predictive programming in all of these absurd zombie apocalypse movies is priming a population for actually accepting and participating in the culling of entire target populations. You will be the zombie, in other words, those who refuse to take these vaccine schedules, and you will be eliminated. Which brings us to the vaccine issue specifically. And I thought we'll spend the last 15 minutes just on this. Now, in case some of us haven't seen the big news this week, Pfizer has announced that the preliminary results of the phase 3 testing, this late-stage study of the COVID-19 vaccine, shows that it is more than 90% effective. It's all over the news. And everyone is celebrating, and we find heads of state across the world are waving the banner of victory, except for the fact that this has just been an announcement. That's all it is. There's no data to scrutinize. There's nothing presented for public review, let alone peer review. This is what they call a press release. It's literal corporate public relations. It's advertising. And it's nothing more. And if you look at very carefully their own statement, the statement of Pfizer, it goes on to note that the final vaccine efficacy percentage may vary. In other words, what they're trying to say in layman's terms is we're irresponsibly releasing preliminary results without any peer review. And these results don't tell us anything because they make our future product look good, and it'll generate a lot of excited media headlines in the mainstream corporate media that we fund with our advertising dollars. That's a summary of everything that's happened regarding the vaccine up to this point, in the last week. And right after the announcement, what do we notice? Pfizer sold millions of dollars worth of their stock in the company. So obviously there's no conflict of interest either, and I'm just being sarcastic. And then there's the fact that the coronavirus vaccine trials themselves are a documented sham. And there's been a lot of information made available online, for those of you who are keen readers, as to how inaccurate these trials were. The vaccine candidates are not even being measured on the basis of whether or not they can prevent infection, but whether they can reduce symptoms such as coughs, headaches, in patients who have already tested positive, which incidentally will naturally occur irrespective of vaccine prevention. It will happen. What is the recovery rate of anyone who contracts COVID-19? Anyone knows? 99.75%. 99.75% of people who contract COVID-19 actually recover fully. And there's another major issue that has been glossed over in the mainstream media. This is important for us in the context of what we discussed a number of weeks ago regarding the Shari'i axiomatic, immutable Shari'i rights that you have as free human beings, and especially bodily autonomy. So as Muslims, this should be interesting or important from the perspective of our Sharia, because it will be an undermining of that sacred right. And the major issue that I mentioned that has been glossed over is that this vaccine is actually not a vaccine in the traditional sense. It is an experimental injectable technology that actually has never been used before on human beings. It is what they call an mRNA vaccine. Now, what's an mRNA vaccine? Well, it's important to understand the terms, firstly, inoculation, immunization, vaccination, and mRNA vaccination. They tend to be used as interchangeable terms, but they're very distinct concepts. Inoculation, immunization, vaccination, and mRNA vaccines. What are these? To understand immunization, it's important to go back in time. The story actually begins with a great Muslim scholar called Muhammad bin Zakaria al-Razi in the 9th century, one of the great minds of Islam, who was the first physician in history to describe in detail the symptoms and the signs of smallpox, and also measles and a host of other infectious diseases. And this is all based on analytical, scientific, clinical examination of these diseases in a very famous book that he wrote, which is called The Book on Smallpox and Measles. It's the first book in history written specifically on smallpox, which was probably the most infectious disease of the ancient world. So we find Muslims actually beginning the discussion in the 9th century. And the book consists of many chapters. It's 14 chapters altogether. And you find the book till today in its original Arabic. And there's some good translations of it. It's a pity our Muslim doctors don't bother with our own Islamic medical history. Well, that's where the Maulana, like me and the Alim, comes to actually inform our doctors who've sort of cast aside our own glorious medical tradition. So, this book has got 14 chapters. Yeah, I have a bone to pick with our Muslim doctors. They spend decades studying a science that oftentimes is questionable and has brought more suffering and pain to humanity, and certainly has been proven to be no more than a money scam, a money-making scam. Without detracting from some of its efficacy, the fact of the matter is that these doctors don't spend even a month studying Islamic medical history, yet they parade as Muslim doctors. So we need to figure out whether we are going to be Muslim first or doctors first. So this book consists of 14 chapters. The first defines the causes of the two diseases and why only some people are infected and why others escape infection. In the second chapter, Fakhruddin al-Razi mentions the type of human bodies which are more susceptible to smallpox, the type of, you could say, biological constitution, the type of distinctive genetic traits that make you more susceptible. Also, the times of the year in which the disease is more common, the type of season, type of environmental factors that could make a person more susceptible. In this regard, if you've heard my talk on the Tib bin Nabawi perspective on COVID-19, he says that the bilious temperament, in other words, that which is a hot and dry temperament, distinguished by a thinner bodily frame, are more susceptible for measles and not to smallpox. While melancholic temperaments, in other words, those who have a cold and dry temperament, are not susceptible for both diseases, which means that your phlegmatic and your sanguineous temperament is. But if they are attacked by smallpox, the disease will be benign for these types of body types. And the reason I'm telling you these things is because this is part of our Islamic medical tradition, which no one bothers actually reading about, and it is in the books of Hadith. The times in which smallpox is most probable to be widespread, as Muhammad bin Zakaria al-Razi mentions, is actually autumn, end of autumn, beginning of spring. So the environmental factors, the temperature, humidity levels, and the like. In severely hot and dry summers, and also if the autumn was hot and dry without rain, measles actually will be more expected in susceptible individuals, not everyone. So they had a very scientific approach to disease at a time when the Christian West believed everything was superstitiously just the working of the devil. And I guess in the fourth chapter, Imam al-Razi talks about the management of smallpox and contagious diseases. He indicates 10 procedures which should be carried out to achieve complete rehabilitation of an infected person. The fifth chapter, which is the longest, deals with the prevention of smallpox. He talks about all sorts of dietary factors which could enhance immunity, etc., etc. There's a whole lot said in the book. He talks specifically about the care of the eyes, the throat, other organs that become severely damaged by these types of infectious diseases. There's a whole gamut of medicines, actually, and procedures for treatment of the disease. And when was this prepared? In the 9th century. And that is why the Islamic world generally wasn't ravaged by the type of infectious diseases that we find Christian Europe was. Christian Europe was just a petri dish of every type of infectious disease you could possibly imagine. So based on Tib principles, he emphasizes the importance of diet, healthy lifestyle, hygiene, all of these to optimize the body's immunity in resisting opportunistic pathogens. So we believe in homeostasis as our basis in understanding infectious disease, whereas Western medical allopathic science assumes germ theory. And as I mentioned when I did the previous talk, even Pasteur, the father of germ theory, towards the end of his life, actually recanted and reaffirmed his commitment to homeostasis as being a better way of understanding medicine. But germ theory makes a lot of money. Therefore, it's the theory of choice by modern pharmaceutical companies, and doctors just become glorified drug peddlers. So, read the book of Imam Muhammad al-Razi from the 9th century, especially our doctors, you don't bother. As a corollary, Muslim physicians also developed inoculation. This is where the story of inoculation begins. To supplement these types of procedures, inoculation was one of a whole gamut to supplement. An inoculation is used to describe the process of deliberately infecting someone with the smallpox virus in order to achieve immunity from that disease, in other words, to stimulate an immune response. The practice actually originated in Muslim Ming China, because the Muslims, the Ming dynasty, was a Muslim dynasty. And this is where this specific addition in addressing infectious disease begins, where dried out scabs of likely infected smallpox sufferers who had fully recovered were powdered and then blown up the nostrils of healthy people, which then stimulates an immune response. And the procedure infected the patient with a mild strain of the smallpox, and thus confers immunity on them by triggering the right type of response. Now this practice was brought over to Europe via the then Othmani Khilafa, the Ottomans, and was eventually adopted around the world from the 18th, 19th century onwards. So what the West calls inoculation actually was an Islamic gift to them, given the filth and squalor in which they lived and the superstition that guided their choices. Then comes vaccination. We probably stop here, because a lot more needs to be talked about regarding mRNA vaccinations. And this is where you'll understand how you effectively will be changed at the molecular level. Your DNA will be altered. And what is the reason? Well, we'll talk about that. So vaccination is a little different from inoculation. It refers to a slightly different process which was developed in the late 18th century by a character called Edward Jenner, who was very much impressed by the Ottoman system of inoculation. And he extended the Ottoman experience that those who had been exposed to cowpox, which is a little different from smallpox, it's a less virulent relative of smallpox, were themselves immune from smallpox. And what he did, he injected pustules from people infected by the cowpox disease. He begins with a small boy, and there's a lot written about him. Go Google it, quite interesting. He takes a cowpox vesicle from a milkmaid and then vaccinates him, injects it into him, and 2 months later, the boy doesn't develop any smallpox that he's exposed to. So the weaker strain, cowpox, actually allows for the right immunoresponse to then address the more virulent strain, namely smallpox. So that's in the 18th century, 19th century, that becomes popularized. Immunization is a more general term. It refers to any process by which the immune system is stimulated in order to achieve immunity to infectious diseases. What the process is not specified. It's a very broad list of all sorts of options, which brings us to mRNA vaccines, a very specific type of immunization. What does an mRNA vaccine do? And I'll just introduce it this week, and next week we'll conclude it. mRNA vaccine seeks to introduce messenger RNA, single strand. And this tricks the body's cells into producing immunogens, which then stimulate an immune response. But it's done at a genomic level. It's the genome itself that is now being manipulated. As compared to the cell responding, the cell is being modified. So in order to understand this, obviously you need to know about chromosomes, DNA strands, genes, RNA polymerase, ribosomes, amino acid, protein production. In this lucky 21st century of ours, there's no shortage of handy-dandy visual guides. Find out what it is, and then you'll begin to understand why there is so much alarm amongst those who know better regarding the type of vaccine that your local doctor will inject into you next year. An mRNA vaccine, which effectively will change you at a genomic level. You will be the first of the petri dish, in other words, that experimental generation of humanity who will be changed genetically. May Allah give us hikmah to understand and the tawfiq to take the wise path in resisting this type of mischief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in the Quran, in the verse which I quoted right at the beginning, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, when it is said to them, do not spread disorder and chaos in the earth. قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ, they say, we only seek to put things right. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ, Allah warns us, they are the ones who spread disorder and chaos. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and most of them do not even realize they do. So this is where people like me, ulama, step in to remind of what Allah has warned and the mischief done even with supposed good intention. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ